You have your Bibles this morning, if you would find two passages of Scripture. Both of them are located in the New Testament. I'd like you to find the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 13. I'd like you to find the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. Romans is about three quarters of the way through your Bible. 1 Peter is almost at the end of your Bible. And you would find Romans chapter 13, 1 Peter chapter number 2, Romans chapter 13, 1 Peter chapter 2. If you do not have a Bible, there's a pew Bible located in front of you. Feel free to use that. Maybe somebody will notice in the pew that you don't have it and they'll hand it to you. That's an act of kindness. We want you to have the Word in front of you, and we appreciate you being here and don't want you to miss out on anything. And so please receive that and know that we care about you and want you to be able to follow along. I'll really begin in 1 Peter chapter 2 if you want to find that first. I want to preach a message today entitled, A Believer in Broward County. A Believer in Broward County. We're finishing up the month of May. We've been talking about the family. We've talked about mom and dad, and it was Mother's Day was in there, and we've talked about faith, and we've talked about things along those lines, and just figured on Memorial Day that we would pause and we would talk about being a believer in our world. And you say, Pastor, how is that going to honor the men and women who served our country? The men and women who served our country that are located in this room, their number one desire is for God's people to be effective in the world. They fought for the freedom of this country, not that it could be paganistic, but that it could be to the honor of God. And so I want to take the opportunity here and talk with us a little bit about a believer's responsibility in Broward County. I fall in a very, very minute group, I think. I hope it's different when I say this. I actually love living in Broward County. I'm sorry. I know that cuts against your grain. I know some of you think you're insane. I know some of you think, well, you don't live where I live. Well, I know. But I really do love living in Broward County. I want to ask a few questions today. You were not born in America. Would you lift your hand? My God, look at that. My God, amen is right. You were not born in Broward County. Let me do it this way. Anybody here born in Broward County? I love you guys. Only Jesus Christ did what's been done in this room. Amen. Oh, we're not without our problems. I'm sure there may be some prejudice in the room. There may be a little bit of race in the room. You can't put this many people together and not have some of that. But I want you to know something. For the most part, Plantation Baptist Church stands to the testimony of the unity that is found in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why you're here. That's why you're here. I love living in Broward County. My goal today is to get you to love living in Broward County. So I won't move, Pastor? No, not so you won't move, but so you won't miss out on your responsibility in Broward County. Yeah, we have our problems. You can't put millions of people together and not have problems. You cannot be a refuge for the world and have them show up on our shores not knowing anything about us and expect us not to have transitional problems. That's foolish. It's impossible. You cannot bring people out of cultures that know nothing of the American way of life and expect them just to fit right in and not have any problems. It's impossible. It is grossly impossible. It's also impossible to expect those people to come here and sometimes forget some of their own tradition. I had dinner last night in a lovely lady's home, and she made me the best Venezuelan meal I've ever had in my life. I went home, and I'm going to buy Beverly today a Venezuelan cookbook because it was fantastic. I do think that if you're going to be in this country, though, you are submissive to the laws of this country. I think you should try to learn the language of this country. It's funny, I go to other countries, you would want me to learn your language. We would desire you to learn our language. I don't think that's unreasonable. We have our problems. We have our issues. But church, 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 I'm afraid that we are allowing the differences in our culture to distract us from the souls of our culture. And we get frustrated in somebody who can't speak our language. And we get frustrated in the fact that somebody doesn't do things the way we do. And we get frustrated that we live in zero lot lines. And we get frustrated that we have to now live in high rises. And we get frustrated with all the traffic. But my friend, understand you this. Once a man dies, and after this, the judgment of Jesus. And it is our responsibility to take the gospel to the world. Now, the world has come to our doorstep. I know Jesus Christ. That means for me, my eyes penetrate more than the skin or the race of a man or a woman. They penetrate more than the class of a man and a woman. They penetrate the very fact that that soul has been born and is condemned to hell, and Jesus has come and died for that soul. And bless God, I want them to know Christ as their Savior. But our churches are becoming a little bit culturalistic and a lot less evangelistic. And we're starting to let the uproar of our county affect the way we see people. Now, instead of taking things to our neighbors, we're terrified of our neighbors. Now, instead of trying to share the gospel with somebody, we don't even speak to them. And I want you to know something. To whom much is given, much is required. You say what you want to say, but much has been given to South Florida. We are a wealthy people. Say, Pastor, I don't believe that. Let me tell you, travel some other place in the United States. You can go to other places in the United States. They don't have access to what we have access to. You can go to other places in the world, and you will find that every man or woman who lives on our shores is a rich man or woman. And before God and by God, I promise you this, when we stand before Him one day, we will give extra account for being in America. Yes, we will. We have responsibility to those who are around us, and we have thumbed our nose at the people God has sent to our shores, that we can take the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and win them to Him. Now, a believer's responsibility in Broward County. I got 12 minutes and you're going to go, so I got to hurry up. If you were to study 1 Peter, you would find that in 1 Peter chapter 1, he's beginning to talk with them about the new life, about grace. He's talking to them about holiness in verses 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. He's talking to them about the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He's talking about loving one another in verse number 22. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Talking about being born again of incorruptible seed, not of corruptible seed. He's talking about the gospel which is preached unto them in verse number 25. He moves into chapter 2 and he begins to talk about the new life. He begins to talk about the power of the gospel and the effect that it has. And he said in verse number 1, if you've been saved, lay aside malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies. Man, if you've been born again, desire the sincere milk of the word. Verse number 5, you're lively stones, a spiritual house. Verse number 7, our Lord Jesus is precious unto us if we know Him. He's not a stone of offense to us. He's precious. Verse number 9, we're chosen generation that we should show forth the praise of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And he's verse number 10, he talks about mercy. Now you come to verse number 11 and through the rest of the chapter, and Peter stops to speak with them about their responsibility to the world in which they live in. And verse number 11, he begins to make practical application to the new attitude to the world around them and to the new audience within the world around them. Would you look at verse number 11? Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, sojourners, like Abraham, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now let me tell you what he's saying here, and I got to set a little bit of introduction. He comes to them and lets them know that because they've been born again, they are strangers in the land. By the way, you and I are strangers in this land. This is not our home. We're just the passing through. One day the shout's going to come. The angel's going to shout. The Lord Jesus is going to be there. And we're going to be raptured home to glory. Amen? You can get excited about that. Peter says, you ought to have a new attitude about the world. He says you ought to know that you're here for a moment, but it's not home. The only way I know to really illustrate this to you is if you've ever been outside of the country, whether it be in the Caribbean or in Europe or wherever, I've been outside the country just a little bit. And I'll tell it myself, but I think it's true of all men. When I walk the streets of other nations, I do walk them with an American pride. I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings a little bit. But I do walk thinking, thank God, I live in America. And I look at the poverty, and I look at the mess, and I look at the filth, and I look at all of the people that just have nothing. And I walk those streets and I say, thank God I don't live here. Thank God I don't live here. Thank God. You know what happens? My heart pours out to them. And I think, man, I got a couple hundred in my wallet, and I want to give. I find out in these missionaries that $10,000 builds a church. I will give $10,000. I look at that, it affects my heart. And I know that I'm not living here and I'm going back to America, but I see that great need and it bothers me. But that's how we are to be as Christian, my friend. We're walking this earth, but it's not our home. I walk this earth knowing I've been born again. My home is settled in heaven. And I look around here and I think, my God, if they only lived where I'm going to live one day. If they only knew the Lord that I know. If they only had the blessing that I have. And instead of thumbing my nose at them, my heart pours out to them. And I want to say, would you listen to me for a minute so I could tell you about the Lord Jesus. Peter said, you're just strangers passing through. Understand the new world. But he said, understand the new audience. Would you look at verse number 12? He said, having your lifestyle, that's the word conversation, honest among the Gentiles or the world, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, and they were viciously coming against this church, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold. What's he trying to say there? He's trying to say, hey, the world's watching you. The world's watching you here in 1 Peter. Yeah, they're being vicious against you. They're attacking you. They're telling you that that the way that you worship God is a criminal way. And they're saying that you're vicious in that. And by the way, we're going to face that one day. One day it will be a hate crime for me to say homosexuality is a sin. I promise you we're headed that direction. We have to. We have to. One day, you're going to have to determine, are you going to stand for this, or are you going to not, or are you going to suffer the consequence? You will. Not just the preacher, you will too. Why? Because if I step down from here, I'm not just a preacher, I'm a man born again by the Spirit of God, just like you are. It's happening. It's coming. It's coming, man. It is on its way. We're going to have to determine what we're going to do. And so Peter says, listen, you've got responsibility in the world. Now, what is he saying? Understanding the awesome gospel that is within you, understanding the audience that is about you. Peter says, be effective. Be a force. Now, when I use the word force, we immediately think, okay, we've got to organize this movement, and we've got to move in herds, and we've got to move in droves, and we've got to get political voice, and we've got to get money, and we've got to get this, and we've got to organize all this stuff, and we've got to move as an army. And I guess for the first part, I would think that way too. The problem is, that's not what Peter told them to do. What Peter tells them to do is absolutely the most ridiculous thing they ever dreamed about. But if you would look at verse number 13, it says what he tells them to do. He says, that in verse 12, that they glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, be a force, verse 13 says, submit yourselves. What do you mean, submit ourselves? Look at verse number 15. It's the will of God that you submit yourself. What do you mean, submit myself? He's saying this. You have to understand that the world is looking at anybody who professes Jesus Christ. Do you have to understand that they hate Jesus Christ? You have to understand that they're speaking evil and they're coming against you. And it's time for God's people's lives to be so filled with the power of God that these people will look at your life, and by your very life and by that preaching of that message, they'll glorify God. Well, yeah, how are we going to do that? He said, be a good citizen. Be a good citizen. That brought me to a believer in Broward County. I want you to look what he says here. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. To every ordinance of man. What an exhortation. Submission is a military word. It means get in line. Fall in rank. Do what you're supposed to do. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man. By the way, human law and established government is a divine institution. Yes, it is. It is a divine institution. Genesis chapter 4 through Genesis chapter 6, they did whatever the world they wanted to do, and there was no law in the land. They raped, murdered, pillaged, did whatever. The flood came. After the flood, God said, you kill a man, you deserve to die. By the way, you say, Pastor, is God for capital punishment? He instituted capital punishment. Yes, he's for it. He said, if you shed a man's blood, then your blood ought to be shed. Genesis chapter 9, verse number 6. By the way, Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. What are you trying to say? Peter said, listen, church. You've got responsibility. I know Nero is on the throne, and I know he's the emperor right now, and I know he's vicious, and I know he's cruel, and I know he's burning us and killing us and all that. But submit to every ordinance of man, because it's directed from our Lord. Interesting. That gives new ways to look at the fact of our government. By the way, Christian ought to be the best citizen in the county, amen? But we ought to be the best taxpayer. I'll take a drink. Say, Pastor, have you ever heard of that biblical word loophole? Loophole. You know, I think that the law is legal. And I think if the law gives you a break, then you can take a break. But if you break the law on your taxes, God help you. You not only sinned against our nation, you not only sinned against every man, woman, and child in this room, you sinned against our God. I know. I don't expect you to say amen, but I expect God's people to be what God said we ought to be. Amen? Yeah. So I'm all for taking a tax break, but every ordinance of man, God allowed and God ordained. I'm responsible to that. You say, Pastor, well, how am I responsible to that? Well, he said in verse number 13, for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. You see, the only way you can obey the laws of Broward County is for your heart to be submitted to the law of the Lord Jesus. If you read in Matthew chapter 15 and John and other books, you'll find that it's out of the heart cometh forth crime. It's out of the heart. It's not because of society or poverty. It's not because of the haves and the have-nots. It comes from a man's heart. And so when my heart is under the touch of the Lord Jesus, and I've got a new heart given to me, it desires to be obedient to what God has said. Interesting. I want you to see not only the exhortation, but look at the extent of this. Look at what he says, verse 13. Whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him. What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say that the extent of the obedience of God's people goes all the way to the President of the United States. Well, I didn't vote for him. I don't like him. I don't like any of them. I don't like the governor. I don't like this or that. May I show you something? that's absolutely going to change your thinking. This will be one of those services you'll take something home and say, well, that boy there taught me something today. Go to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 4. You got to see the print on the paper. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the, what? Minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the, what? Minister of God. A revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Look at verse number 6. For this cause pay ye tax, tribute. Also, for they are God's, what? Ministers. I didn't vote for him. I don't like him. I don't like the president. Don't like the governor. Don't like my city council. Don't like my county guy. I don't like them. Understand this. Anyone in office is a minister of God. Now, let me tell you what the language is. The word is diakonos. It is the same word we get deacon. It's the same word for server. It's the same word for an institution and an area of service in the church. God said, they're my servants. Submit to them. Oh, my goodness gracious. What are they for, Pastor? Look at verse number 14. Therefore, the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them who do right, who do well. Well, I don't like what all they're doing. Well, do well and you won't have any problems. Well, I do well, and sometimes I do. I'm going to get on that. What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say we are a believer in Broward County. We have responsibility to win this county for Lord Jesus, not to be diversive, not to be bothered by them, not to be intolerant, not to actually clam ourselves in our little homes and let the world go to hell around us. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. And now we must understand that the people who serve us are actually as deacons. Boy, that is unbelievable. Look at verse 15. I'll tell you to do this. For so is the will of God. How important is that? It is the will of God, and it's also our weapon. Now, we think that our weapon is to change Broward County, is to be forceful and violent, or you may think we need to get all these masses and do all that. But Peter said, if you'll do what I tell you, for it's the will of God, look at verse 15, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. What was he saying? He was saying, man, the world is coming against us. Nero is coming against you. They are lying about the church like they're doing today. They're saying that what we believe to be the word of God is really hate crime. They're saying that we're divisive. We're a problem to the culture. He says, everybody is looking at the church. So here's what I want you to do. Submit and let them look and let them find nothing that they can take and defame the name of Jesus Christ in your life. He said, it is a weapon to put to silence the foolishness of ignorant men. That's powerful, amen? My God, that is extremely powerful. You say, Pastor, boy, what's that verse everybody always quotes to me? It's better to obey God rather than man. Okay, when do we disobey man and when do we obey God? Church, here's when we disobey man and obey God. Comes down to two things. It comes down to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It comes down to the morality of man. Illustrations. The three Hebrew young men were told to do what? Bow down and worship. They said, we will not worship any god but our God. We would stand behind that. Daniel, it is a crime, and you will die if you pray. I'm told to pray without ceasing. I will pray. Interesting. King Saul's bodyguard, go massacre and kill the innocent and do it and kill those priests. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go and commit murder. Peter, don't preach anymore in our streets. Matter of fact, don't preach anywhere. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, you let me out of here, I'm going to preach again. And I say, Pastor, there's ordinances in our city that we're not to preach at such and such a time, and we're not to do this and do that. What should we do? We should obey those ordinances. What they were telling Peter was, don't preach, period. Peter said, I will preach. But if there's an ordinance, I don't want you preaching on my street corner at 11 o'clock. I'm trying to sleep. But we want to cross those lines, and we want to do these kind of things. There's a time to disobey. But let me say this too. If I'm going to do that as a citizen of Broward County, and if it ever comes time, those men also faced the consequences, didn't they? They did. What happened to Daniel? Where'd he go? Come on. Lions did. What happened to three Hebrew boys? Where'd they go? What happened to Peter? Where'd he go? Yeah. Every one of them. Peter went to jail. Daniel went in the lion's den. Boys went in the furnace for the Lord Jesus Christ, obeying God rather than man. Yes, they did, but they also took the consequences of that. There may come a time when I am to obey God and better than man, but let me tell you something. There's also that time to face the consequences too. Very much so. It's biblical. We want our cake and eat it too. We can't have it that way. You say, Pastor, why are you so on this? I'll tell you why I'm so on this. Because we have to survive down here. I have to live in this county. And you live in this county. What are we going to do? Are we going to have a church that hates people? Are we going to have a church who's so bothered by our civilization we don't want to go witness to them? Are we going to just all clam up into our little homes? And because you're black and you're Indian or you're this or you're that, I'm not going to go and talk to you? What are we going to do, church? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do like the Lord Jesus did. We are going to go to all men of all color and of all race and of all nationality, and we're going to take and go and give the gospel in Jesus' name. That's what we're going to do. But boy, all of a sudden I found myself bothered by my neighbors and bothered by customs. And I'm so bothered that I forgot about Jesus. God help us. Now, he gives us four things to go away with, and it's remarkable. Peter boils it all down to verse number 17. He said, I'll tell you what you do in summing it up. I got to let you go. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Now, if there needs to be a testimony about Plantation Baptist Church, it's that we honor all men. You see, it makes no difference where we are. It makes a difference whose we are. Let me say it this way. The word honor there is the word precious. That means we see men and women as precious. Not that we see them as black, Indian, or foreign. Or not that we see them as hick, hillbilly, or rebel. We see souls for how Jesus sees souls. All men. Honor all men. Interesting. Love the brotherhood. What's he saying? We love the church. It's the agape. It's the regard with favor. It's that the love of God should be so prevalent in this room. This is the pep rally. Okay? This is where we are charged up, encouraged with the word, given our orders, and we march out of here. We go into the world, and we're on fire for them. But here's where the love of God's people must encourage one another. Iron sharpeneth what? So a man's countenance sharpeneth his friends. Okay? That's what the church is. Fear God. Notice that it's stuck right in the middle because we cannot do this unless we fear God. And then I want to get to this last one. Honor the king. Honor the king. Now, here's where I really boil it down for today's lesson. The place we start with our responsibilities with the king, that's with the president. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that if I'm going to be a believer right with God, then let me read you what Timothy wrote down. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that it's time that we begin to pray for our president, which we do. But it's time that we begin to pray for our governors. It's time we begin to pray for our local leaders. It's time that we start taking them to God in prayer. Amen? That's what the word says. Honor the king. This is what got me the most. You study the word honor. The word honor is the same word that's used as Christ honoreth his father. Unbelievable. The same word that Christ honored the Father, Peter says, church, honor the King. The King. The King. Now, we are to be effective in Broward County. I will not pastor and lead our church to be isolationist or clams. We won't do that. We will go forth into all nations, all peoples, and we will take the gospel to our street. And by God, by prayer, we will develop a love and an honor for all men. Yes, we will. We will love the church, and we will fear our God. And we will respect and honor and give to our local leaders. We will submit to those ordinances. We will submit to the King and Supreme or the Governor. And the world will look at Plantation Baptist Church and they will say, not that, oh boy, they're aggressive and they've led the fight. They will look at them and say, there's something different about those people. There's something different about them. There's a power on them, an authority on them, and there's victory in their lives, and there's something happening there. And it'll be because we have been obedient to God as a believer in Broward County. Now, I hope and pray you love or learn to love our county, your neighbor, where you are. Don't let the things that have bothered us and the differences of people distract us from the gospel. Amen. Here's our invitation. I'm Brother Kevin to make his way up here. We're going to sing. We're going to sing page 342, Just As I Am, You Know It. If you need to be saved, I invite you to come and be saved. If you want to join the church, I invite you to come and join the church. But my main invitation is, I want to invite God's people, if you can, to come down, maybe sit where you are or come down here, and I want to take our president, our governors, our local leaders, and I want God's people this morning on Memorial Day to pray for them. I want to pray wisdom upon them. I want to pray protection upon them. I want to pray the gospel upon them. And I want to pray that God strengthen them. We have some here in our own church that serve in those places. We need to uplift those folks today. I want you to join me in that. Let's stand.